This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, it's Freestyle Friday, everybody, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Lisa Wysocki from Nashville, Tennessee, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 6, episode 865. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday.
I can't believe it. I just don't believe it.
What's going to happen?
Thank God it's...
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Thank God it's...
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Friday. Thank you for listening in to Horses in the Morning, and welcome, Lisa. It's good to have you back.
It's good to be here.
Lisa has filled in for Jamie a time or two, and I want to just clarify that I wrote the show notes yesterday, so I put March 6th. It's actually March the 7th for those of you who think you've lost a day. You really haven't. You lived it yesterday.
No, and you know, talk about awareness, Glenn, and it's like, gee, it's right here on my calendar on my computer. It says Friday, March 7th.
I know. I just saw it, and I went, we've done that before. It's not the first time. Jamie is off with family this weekend. She has had some traveling to do, and I'm sure it's a very exciting thing. I can't say what it is, but it's a very exciting thing for her husband, and I'm sure she'll talk about it on Monday when she gets back. So Lisa was kind enough to fill in today. Is this your first Friday filling in?
It is absolutely my first Friday, and I am so excited.
Well, you know, really bad ads. You're going to have to rise to the occasion now because the listeners expect a really good, funny, really bad ads.
You know, I have been psyching myself up for 2 days. I think this is going to just rock.
I think you'll do fine. You'll do great. We have a particularly good batch today, too. So
cool.
That helps. That definitely helps. Jennifer,
absolutely.
What is coming up on today's show?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, a list of why mares are awesome provides an end-of-the-week laugh-inducing list. Next up, Dale Simanton stops by with a look at the genetics behind great ranching thoroughbreds. And in the third half of the show, Really Bad Ads mixes up a brand mash of questionable horsemanship combined with bad salesmanship. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. Before we get started here with the Daily Whinnies, I thought I'd mention talk a little bit about Silva Martin. Most of you, I am sure, are aware that Boyd Martin's wife, Silva, who is a Grand Prix dressage rider, was in an injury 2 days ago in Wellington. It was kind of a bizarre freak accident. The horse just basically tripped, and she went down and whacked her head, they think, on the horse's neck. And caused a brain injury. She has bleeding on the brain, and the doctors indicated that they weren't going to operate. They were going to see if it absorbs naturally, but apparently she remains in stable condition. She's at the Delray Medical Center down there in the Wellington area. Boyd traveled. He was up in Red Hills, which is at the opposite end of the state. It's very north above us, even northern part of the state. He drove the 6 hours down to... as soon as he heard about this, he drove the 6 hours down to Wellington. He apparently spent some time with her. And then he turned around and drove back yesterday to Red Hills because he was scheduled to ride 5 or 6 horses in this 3-star event. He did ride his two upper-level horses. And now get this. This shows what kind of competitor he is, Lisa. And you know, you're going to appreciate this, having dealt with competitors for so long. You know, his wife is in an accident. He spent the entire night with her at the medical center, turns and drives another 6 hours back, gets there, rides 2 horses, and is in the top. Both horses are in the top 10 after dressage. One is in second place.
Amazing.
You know,
yeah.
What's in
I mean, the whole story is amazing. I think, like a lot of people, I've been following this online, and I mean, just what a freak accident. You know, her horse trips, she hits her head, falls, has a serious injury. I mean, she wasn't even like doing anything, anything really fast or bizarre. I mean, she was just walking along, and she trips her horse trips, and for her husband to have that kind of dedication, and for both his horses and his wife, it's just a phenomenal story.
Yeah, and, you know, they certainly have had not an easy time between the fire and everything else that they've had over the last couple of years, but Boyd just keeps his head down, and Silva does too. She's very nice. She's been on our shows before, both Boyd and Silva. You know, we wish her the best, and we're thinking about her. If we get any updates during the show today, we'll bring them to you. We're basically at this point, it looked like she was still a little bit, you know, she was sleeping yesterday, they said. So I think they're waiting to see, you know, basically with head injuries, you wait till they wake up and you see where you go from there.
Yes, and, yes. And, I mean, I think, you know, the whole country is praying for her and for him. And you know, we just hope for the best.
Well, let's go on with today's show, and we're going to start with my daily. My daily Winnie goes out to Jody, and Jody, I don't know how do you say the last name, H-O-C-H? Is it Hawk? That's how I would say it, I guess. H-O-C-H. Yeah, that's how I'm saying it. Jody Hawk goes out to you. She wrote on our page this morning, going to try and listen live for the first time today. Hopefully people will leave me alone at work until the show is over. Jody, what I have to say to that is thank God you have your priorities straight. That's all I have to say. And welcome. We hope you are listening, and we hope all those nasty, annoying people at work leave you alone because you have priorities. And we think that we should be your priority, so that's perfect. Who cares if you get fired? You know, you don't need that job.
And my daily Winnie goes to Dan Molnes. Dan is a friend of mine and my mother's from Canterbury Park in Minneapolis, or Shakopee, Minnesota. He was wintering in Florida with his wife. Dan is 88 years old, was riding his bike last fall, got hit by a Harley motorcycle, broke just about every bone in his body. He spent 76 days in the hospital and rehab, and he's just doing fabulous. And so I just wanted to say, hey, Dan, and we're proud of you.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a bizarre
88 years
accident,
old,
huh?
And he's back on his road to recovery, and he's so inspiring to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just, yeah, that's not something you hear about every day with
nope.
that particular type of accident. Yeah.
No, you don't.
Wow.
And he's a horse owner, been a horse lover all his life, and I just, you know, I just feel he's got many more years of horse interactions ahead. So, yeah.
And how old did you say he was?
He's 88.
Wow.
88.
You
got
know,
hit by a guy in his 70s riding a Harley Davidson. You know, he flew through the air, broke like part of his neck and his legs and ribs and, I mean, everything. And, you know, he's just an amazing guy. He was a former superintendent of schools in Minnesota and just a really bright guy. And, you know, just a joy to know. So I'm just glad he's on his way to recovery.
Yeah, we're wishing him the best. You know, probably the reason that he is recovering from this and is going to recover from this is because he was a horse guy. You know,
oh,
just made it make they're just made a little tougher.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. And an administrator of the school.
Yes.
That makes
yeah,
it a little
you know,
tougher
you get,
too.
Yeah, superintendent, you've probably been a principal and you've probably been a teacher before that, so you've got
yes.
some tough stuff in there.
Yes, between that and the horse person, nothing was going to keep him down, not even a Harley.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, we're glad to hear that there's some good news coming out of that. Well, before
yeah.
we get started, I just have a couple housekeeping things here. The first thing is we want to thank all the new HRN, official HRN auditors that have signed up for our kind of membership program here over the last couple of days. We appreciate all of you. You know, you can do that for as little as a dollar a month. And what's been amazing is the people that are signing up are doing $5, $10, $25 a month. If you appreciate the programming here at the Horse Radio Network and want to become an auditor, we have some fun things planned, and we came up with something else that we're going to do with the auditors yesterday that they don't even know about yet, and I think they're going to enjoy. It's a bit of a bonus that they weren't expecting. We'll be contacting the people who have signed up over the weekend about that. We're going to get them involved a little bit in the shows that and, you know, we have some other things, too, that we're working on for auditors. So if you want to become an auditor, or as Helena likes to say, she doesn't like the term auditor. She likes member better. If whichever way you want to look at it, you just go to horsesinthemorning.com. There's a big banner in the middle of the page, or horseradionetwork.com. There's no obligation. You don't have to do that. But if you would like to and help continue supporting the Horse Radio Network, you can do that there. So we appreciate everybody that has. Well, you know, one of the things that has been a constant in the horse world, there's always a division between disciplines, and there's always a division between breeds of horses, and people are always arguing mine's better than yours. One of the fundamental ones, though, that happens in the horse world, and I think, Lisa, you'll agree with this, is mares or geldings.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that is it doesn't matter what discipline, it doesn't matter what breed, that conversation is the same across the board.
Absolutely it is, yes.
Jamie doesn't own any mares. She doesn't like mares at the barn. She likes all geldings. And, you know, a lot of people do that, not that they don't like mares. It's that it just makes it easier if you have one or the other, right?
Well, it does, and I know a lot of therapeutic riding programs only will have geldings on the property. But, you know, I think they're missing out. You know, my thought has always been that geldings are steady, but when a mare is on, she's absolutely brilliant. So those people who don't have mares, they're missing out on that brilliance. They're missing out on something really special.
Well, and I think that's true. We see that in the competition world, whether it's dressage or eventing, and we see that in the racing world, too. You know,
yeah.
Vinyata comes to mind.
yes, many others.
Right. So there was this article. It was in Horse and Hound. Yeah, it was in Horse and Hound. And it was the reasons why mares are better than geldings. And it gave a number of reasons why mares are better than geldings. I thought we could talk about it this morning because I just thought it was so interesting. And I have to say that I don't agree with all of these. We've owned both. And Jennifer and I have both individually owned mares and geldings. Some at the same time, some at other times. But so I don't totally agree with all of these. Let's find out which you agree with, and we'll have a little talk around it. The first one was, call it evolution, but mares appear to have a greater sense of self-preservation. They are marginally less inclined to reverse into a ditch in a blind panic, for example. This means that even if they bolt away from that tractor, as long as you can stay on board, avoiding any low branches in the process, you should be all right. So how do you feel about that one?
Well, it just makes sense because the mares are the herd leaders, you know. So they do have a sense of self-preservation that's greater than a gelding because that is their job. They're wired for that, you know. And I do think a mare is going to take care of you better than a gelding will.
You agree with that, Jennifer? You've owned both. You competed on both.
Yes, I think that's part of the reason some people find mares so hard to train is if they view your request as something that is not in line of their personal sense of self-preservation, they're going to give you the finger.
Yeah, or their job. You know, their job, particularly if you're dealing with a lead mare, if her job is to take care of the herd and you're doing something outside the social norm of herddom, then she's just going to kind of say, what's up with that, you know?
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about it, too. I've owned both, and I've never had mostly ponies that I've driven, and I've never had a mare back me into a ditch. I've had geldings back me into a ditch. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one. And it says, the next one is on the same basis, a mare will also, fingers crossed, move out of the way of any assailants in the field rather than attempting to befriend them or wind them up with well-met, affectionate, gelding-like posturing. We were talking about that the other day, Jennifer. Remember we were discussing the difference between having geldings in the field and having mares in the field and how they play and act differently?
Yeah. The mares aren't taking each other's halters off. Thank you very much.
Exactly. And, you know, I have a gelding. Well, I don't have a gelding, but there's a gelding on the property that I co-own with somebody else. And we have this Rubbermaid shed right next to the arena where we're keeping all of the arena equipment. And every day he takes it apart. Every day. We put it back together, and then the next day he's taking it apart again. He just has to have something to do.
Yeah, you know, we're finding that, too, with my pony and with Beaker. They play lip tag all the time. I mean, they're just constantly going at it. And I don't remember the mares doing that as much as the geldings do.
But, see, the mares are taking care of the herd, and they have a job to do, where the geldings, they're just hanging out.
Yeah, they're just goofing off. It's kind of like that in real life, too, isn't it? I mean, yeah.
It is. It is.
Yeah, Jennifer does all the work, and I just sort of goof off. my job. Training a mare teaches you that in the first instance, you're far better off asking nicely for things than assuming you'll get what you demand. And isn't that the truth? You have to find a new way to do it with mares, because you're not gonna force them to do anything. That is for certain.
Yeah. And you know, I think a gelding is maybe going to be a little bit more forgiving and a little bit more patient, where a mare is just going to be, you know, you got to do it right, because I'm here and I'm doing it right, so you've got to step up.
That's right, and you better ask nicely. And, you know, this one translates to humans as well, you know, if you think about it.
Yes.
You know, we really don't get a lot unless we ask nicely. So, you know, it's a lot of these do translate.
Well, almost all of them do, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Jennifer's not saying a word to that one. She's just leaving, staying very quiet. Training a mare will also, and this goes along the same thing, really, training a mare will also improve your negotiation skills tenfold, opening up a whole new world of career options from mediator to United Nations peace envoy. And anybody that has owned a mare will understand what that means.
Yes. You know, you just, it's a give and take process, you know, and that's what's so cool about it, though, for me, and I own a mare and a gelding, but, you know, I think I connect more with the mare, because, you know, I've really got to be on my game, and I've got to be really present. Otherwise, she's going to get won over, if she can.
I think I've had a better relationship, and Jennifer can confirm this, I think I've had a better relationship as far as almost friendship with my mares than I have any of the geldings that I've owned. The mares have been the ones that they've been more giving back too. Than I think the geldings. And I thought that was just, you know, maybe is that luck of the draw? I'm sure you can have geldings that are that way too. Obviously, we're generalizing here. So
yeah, because there are some exceptional geldings out there, and I've been fortunate enough to be around a few of them that, but, you know, I think people who are just discounting the mare just in general, they're missing out on the individual.
I agree. Totally agree. We're not necessarily saying she'll never roll in the bog or that all droppings will be neatly piled in the corner of the stable, but it has been known with mares, in any way, they're likely to prefer maintaining a degree of cleanliness. I don't know if I said, we've had as piggish of mares as we've had piggish of gelding, so I'm not sure if I buy this one. Jennifer,
yeah, I don't
do you
know
have...
if I go with that one either.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to work at a very, very large breeding farm. There were some 1,200 mares there. And I'm sorry, there are just as many piggy mares as there are piggy geldings and piggy stallions.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it goes back down to, you know, to their mom and what she taught them. So some personal preference, but yeah, I've had both. I think we all have.
And you know, that's an interesting comment you make, Lisa, because when it came time to bring the yearlings in for sales prep, and this was a standard bred farm, so the youngsters were not handled a whole bunch. They're a little bit more hands-off. So once the youngsters were weaned from age, you know, 5 or 6 months to age 12 months or thereabouts, they weren't handled directly on a daily basis. They got turned out in giant herds, colts on one side and fillies on the other side, and didn't get fussed with. So when they came back in, they were very much blank slates. And just by looking at their stall habits, you could tell which youngsters belonged to which mares, because they really had their mommy's stall habits. If you had a mare that pooped in the corner of the stall, you had a 90% chance of that youngster coming in as a yearling and pooping in the same corner of his stall as she did. So my solution to messy stalls in the horse world is only breed mares who are neat in their stall.
Love it.
If your mare's a hog, don't breed her. Just don't.
Love it. Love it. Yeah, I think we discount, you know, what the mares teach the babies. You know, there's so much more that we're just not even aware of. But I'm with you, Jen, absolutely.
And now if I'm going to take the horse husband point of view and we translate this over to humans, how many horse women do we know that are neat about anything, including their cars and their houses? So this one definitely is busted, as the Mythbusters would say. Okay, on to the next one, and you can send the emails to Glenn at horseradionetwork.com. Mares are often sharper and smarter than geldings. This is what you were saying, basically, at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, and again, a mare isn't on every single day. But when she is, it's just brilliant. I've had several national world champion horses that were mares, and oh, my goodness, when they were on and performing and just right in the zone, it was like magic. And I never had that with a gelding. I mean, I've won just kind of by default because they were so steady, they just didn't make a mistake. But they were never, like, brilliant. And a mare certainly can be.
Do you agree with that, Jennifer?
Very much so. That's the problem with mares, is if you have a mare who's a competitor for a living, people will take the consistent performer over the occasionally brilliant performer, because in the long term, that can create more success for your career, and it can do it easier because you don't have that guessing game. But I would say definitely every single mare I've had that I worked with consistently, it was that spiky thing. She could be fantastic, and she could also be a complete terror.
Yes. 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 I think a lot of us can relate.
Unlike geldings, mares are unlikely to lick and slobber on you when you arrive at the yard, meaning that, you know, again, they're going to with the whole, you know, not quite as affectionate. And, again, I totally disagree with that. I've had more affectionate mares than I've ever had affectionate geldings.
I have, too, and I think, you know, the mare typically is the herd leader. So if you've got a mixed herd, she is going to be the one who comes up to greet you first because that's her job. So, you know, she's – but I also think that mares can be very affectionate. And for example, I often sit in the alleyway of my barn and work on my computer, and if I'll sit on the end of it, I've got a mare who just, she looks over my shoulder and she just watches everything I do, and she'll rest her chin on my shoulder, and she's just totally into what I'm doing, and I just don't always get that from a gelding. A gelding would pull my cap off my head and toss it into the manure pile.
You know, we had a mare, though, that did that, too. The next one was mares don't pull the toggle on your waterproof jacket and ping it back for you and for entertainment value. Well, we actually have had mares that I'm thinking one in particular. Soon after I met Jennifer, this mare really liked me. And we used to go to shows, and that mare used to just hang out with me and used to take my hat off and used to basically snuzzle me. And I don't know if she just had a thing for me or not, but, you know, that one especially was really into that whole playing thing. So I'm going to give that as a more individual thing, you know, rather than a mare gelding thing.
I'd go along with that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say that I think that's the case.
Yeah.
We've heard it said that only mares can go vertical both ways. Now that's what we call balance and athleticism, and I think everybody that rides knows exactly what that is.
Yes.
And that same mare that I was just talking about used to take my hat off. Used to be good at that, huh, Jennifer? Sally Allen. She used to know how to do that.
Really?
Yeah, early on, before we came to an agreement, yeah, we could go vertical both directions, and we could alternate in a matter of seconds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, my question is, can she do both vertical directions and take your cap off at the same time, or did the cap just kind of come off as a result of that?
And both vertical directions, she could do both vertical directions with all 4 feet off the ground at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without touching the ground. Yep. Geldings are generally up for a cuddle. Mares make you work harder for any affection. And this is the one we were just talking about. I just disagree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I do,
they
too.
They say it's rather like having a cat as opposed to a dog. I think that's individual. I just don't think that's a mere gelding question.
Well, and I think you're offending all the cat lovers out there, too.
If we received a pat, well, okay, we're gonna continue to offend all the cat lovers. Just wait till really bad ads today. If we received a pound on every occasion, we've heard a rider say, if you get a good mare, they really, really try for you. And I think that's what you were talking about.
It is. It is, yeah. Most days. Now there are days when they don't try all that hard, but most days.
I love this one. Mares do a commendable job of keeping all the geldings in the yard in check. If you left a gelding in charge, chaos would ensue. Now, this one does not translate to humans, because I'll tell you why. Early in my career, I was one of two guys in an office of 50 women. And let me tell you what, I have never seen that much bickering and cattiness when you put 50 women in an office together and there's no guys around.
Wow. Wow.
I totally disagree with this one.
So how long were you in that position, Glenn?
For about 2 years. And I have never seen people, they're all women, but I've never seen people argue over the stupidest things. It was mind-boggling, actually.
Wow.
Mind-boggling.
Wow.
The things you all can argue about is incredible.
Well, I'm just gonna bail on that one, Glenn.
Yeah, you know what? You can bail. But any woman out there right now, look at my Daily Winnie today. Jody, you're sitting there in the office. It's probably full of women, and she's shaking her head because if they're truthful, they know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, and the other thing about women, and I don't know if this translates to mares either, but they hold grudges a lot longer. So guys, you know, we kind of get over it. You know, they beat each other up in the back alley, and we go on. You know, and then we're drinking beers together the same day. Women, they just hold those grudges for a long, long time. So do mares hold grudges for a long time?
Probably. I do know that cats, there was a recent study that came out that said a cat will hold a grudge for 16 hours where a dog will hold it for 4 minutes.
Yeah.
That I believe. That I totally believe. That's funny. So is there any that we missed here on this list, Lisa?
I think we've covered it really well. And all I want to say is that, you know, if you haven't tried a mare, don't just dismiss a really good mare just because she's a mare. The herd will work it out. They'll work it out amongst themselves. Just give it a go.
I agree. I totally, totally agree. We've never done that in the entire time, actually, that we've had horses and a lot of them over the years. We have never had that even as a consideration. We basically took that look at them as an individual. You know, and I know a lot of people do it, as we talked about at the beginning of this conversation, a lot of people do it just because it's easier. They have all the geldings and they don't want to throw one. They, you know, and it may depend on the number of paddocks and fields they have and pastures they have, and they don't want to mix it up. And, you know, I get all that. Certainly that is a consideration. And a lot of boarding stables, you know, will restrict how many mares or how many geldings or, you know. Do you usually have the places you've been, do they put them out together? We've always tried to keep them separated.
You know, I've always had mixed herds. And another study, and I think it was Texas A&M, and I can't remember for sure, but they did a study of all gelding herds, and they found that because there was no lead mare in the herd, that the geldings were all somewhat sleep-deprived because they never got a really good couple hours of sleep, and because they weren't wired to do that lead mare job. So
I had a couple jokes there, but I'm going to leave them go because I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the commercial before I get myself in trouble. We're going to have a nutrition minute here from Kentucky Performance Products, and then we're coming back with Dale from Horse Creek Thoroughbred. So in his monthly visit, we're going to find out how he is surviving the South Dakota winter and also talk a little bit about bloodlines in thoroughbreds. This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Feeding your horse starch-laden grains can lead to colic, laminitis, and metabolic disease. Today, nutritionists are recommending the use of high-quality fat to provide healthy calories. Fat is an extraordinary energy source. It's readily utilized by the horse and contains more than 2 times the calories of starchy grains. Replacing grain with a high-quality fat supplement reduces a horse's risk of developing health problems. Equijoule Stabilized Rice Bran is an excellent fat supplement. It contains a balanced calcium to phosphorus ratio and won't cause mineral imbalances when added to the diet. Its all-natural ingredients are high in healthy fat and fiber. And best of all, horses fueled by Equijoule stay calmer and more focused on the job at hand. When you need to add healthy calories to your horse's diet, choose Equijoule. To learn more, visit Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com. And, of course, you can follow them on Facebook as well. Just search for Kentucky Performance Products, and we want to thank them. They're a proud sponsor of our coverage coming up next week of Road to the Horse, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the show. But first, we have to speak with Dale from Horse Creek Thoroughbreds. He stops by with us once a month to chat about thoroughbreds and ranching. And he, of course, is from Newell, South Dakota, where it has been absolutely balmy this winter. It's just like living in Florida. Right, Dale?
Right. we're not above freezing yet, but it is going up anyway.
Has this been, you know, it's been a tough winter for a lot of places in this country and Canada. Is this one of the tougher ones you remember?
No.
No? Okay. You've had
maybe
worse?
One of the longer ones here, but I was born and raised near the Canadian border in central Montana. This is just another winter, really.
I guess when you've been raised up there, this would be just another winter.
it's horrible country. Mosquitoes are
now,
biggest so birds.
You actually moved south then.
Yeah, I did. I hated it up there. Mosquitoes are biggest birds. They hired a bunch of those purple martins to move in there and eat mosquitoes, and I think the mosquitoes ate the birds.
You know, Glenn, I grew up in Minnesota, and the mosquito is actually the Minnesota state bird there, so I can totally relate.
That's a true story.
Yeah.
I was on a lake in
I've seen them run cows through fences.
Oh, yeah.
I was on a lake in Minneapolis, so one we were out on a boat, and it was funny because the locals told us, they said, you know, the sun is going to go down, it's going to be absolutely beautiful, but you better get inside the minute that sun hits the horizon. And we didn't understand what they were talking about. We thought, well, it's not cold, it was a warm day and everything. We had no idea what they were talking about, so, of course, we didn't listen. And immediately when the sun went down over the horizon, those B-52 mosquitoes came out, and it was unbelievably fast. It was, like, incredibly fast. You were inundated in them. I don't know how that happens, but it was awful.
Yeah, when your grandmother tells you to keep your mouth shut, you learn why.
You know what, though? You know what? You have the mosquitoes, and we had a whole conversation on my Facebook page yesterday. You have the mosquitoes. We have the fire ants. And let me tell you what, they have their own way of getting at you. So we had a whole discussion on fire ants because I got bit by a couple the other day. Nothing like a fire ant bite. Anyway, Dale, that's not why you're on the phone today. What are we talking about today?
Oh, my observations on pedigree.
Okay.
I've got I always have a lot of horses around here. And there's a lot of different disciplines that people come and look for a thoroughbred gelding, and a lot of them get hung up on pedigree, and it's one thing I really don't. I've had something of just about everything there is in Kentucky, and there's a few I just didn't like, and I don't know how much of that was attributed to handling on or off the racetrack. I've noticed patterns in some of these lines that kind of interest me, like the Danzig line horses. I call them foot stompers. They basically they're not hard to get along with, and they're not nothing mean about them. They're really kind horses, but they want to go get something done. They take a lot more riding than other horses. When they do come around, they're just as nice as a horse can be. But they've got a lot of nervous energy. But like I said, they're not hard to control. They just want to do something. And then you go the other direction, I think, with the Seattle Slough line, especially the AP Indy line horses, and they're completely content to just stand somewhere.
So that's not necessarily good for a racehorse, is it?
Well, they sure don't have any trouble running. They just don't waste a lot of energy. I think the world of them. They're tough and but they just you can't scare them. I've got that's not necessarily true either. I've got a little horse here. He's not little anymore. He kind of grew up. His name is Remember Shiny, and he was so terrified of cattle that he wouldn't go to the water tank and get a drink of water because the cattle were on the other side of the fence.
Oh, poor guy.
But he got over it. It took me a week or so of leading him around in a pen full of cattle to remind him that he was bigger than they were. And now he won't even let them eat. He runs them off. He got over it. But they just love people. He's by a son of AP Indy. He's a half to a mare that sold for $1.5 million, and he's going to be a dandy. He never was raced.
You know, I've been involved with a few of those horses from that line in the therapeutic riding field, and they are just absolutely great horses. I totally agree with you, Glenn. They're just great.
I think that would be a great place for a lot of these kind of horses. These AP Indies are just love people. Swing and Slew, a horse I sold last fall to a lady in Georgia, as it was by a Swing Lord, a son of AP Indy, out of a Mr. Prospector mare. That was a big time cross, was the AP Indy on Mr. Prospector mares, and they got a lot of good racehorses from that. But you know, I've got an old story. I met a trainer at the racetrack, and he had been to a farm that raised some horses and looked at their yearlings, and we asked him if he saw anything they liked, and he did, and we said, well, how were they bred? And he kind of looked up toward the sun and turned around a couple times, and he said, Bold Ruler, was he a good horse? This guy was a trainer. And he had a mare that he entered in the wrong race one day. He had started her 23 times, and she never lit the board. And he entered her in the wrong race. The race was written at either 6 furlongs or a mile 70. and he forgot to stipulate what, and he would go in, and he wound up in this mile 70 race, and he was too cheap to scratch her, because he'd had to have a vet come and scratch her. So he ran her anyway, and she won by about 9 lengths. He had a round horse and didn't know it. She got to be one of the best mares in the country.
Wow.
It was all because he entered her in the wrong race. He had no idea what he had. And I've found that's true at the racetrack, that they probably know less about what a horse is capable of than anybody in the grandstand.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Glenn, I've got a question for you. Do you find, you know, for what you're doing in getting these thoroughbreds to do some ranch work, does it make a difference whether they're a sprinter or they're a miler, or does it make a difference at all?
It really doesn't to me. I tend to like the speed horses better because they got a little more muscle, and if you're going to do something like drag calves to the fire all day or something, a horse that's a little lower to the ground, it tends to be a little stouter on a rope than a big tall horse. And you, normally your big tall horses are the route horses, you know, the miles a mile or more. And they're a little harder to get on. You got to go hunt up a pile of rocks or something to just get on. I like the speed horses myself better, or at least a horse with a lot of body to them.
Dale, how about stamina? Do the thoroughbreds have the stamina of the quarter horses and some of the other breeds?
Oh, they've got a lot. A thoroughbred that's not fit, to me, is about equal to a quarter horse that is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Ooh, that's fighting
horse.
Ooh,
that's fighting horse, Dale.
Well, it's not intended to be. It's just...
They're
going to
kick your butt out of South Dakota. You're going to be living... You will be living in Florida very soon.
Well, I might welcome that. No, I've ridden a lot of both thoroughbreds and quarter horses, their quarter horses they sure have their place, the good ones. But as far as I'm concerned, they're the reason South Dakota has so many good saddle bronc riders.
Wow!
If you believe in evolution by selection, you know, there are no slow rabbits. Because the coyotes will catch the coyotes catch the slow ones. So if you get on enough of bad horses, you got to learn to ride better. You don't hear of many good saddle bronc riders coming from Kentucky.
That's true.
They just don't have bucking horses.
That's true.
It started years and years ago when the Texans were first moving their cattle to South Dakota. They sent all the horses they hated along with them. I didn't make it up. It's in the history books.
I got to ask you though, Dale. Next Tuesday we do it every month. We do a special endurance riding episode for the endurance riders, and of course they all ride Arabs. Have you ridden Arabs before?
I broke some half Arabs years ago. And I thought they were pretty good horses. I've never ridden a full-blood Arab.
What was the other half?
Some of them were thoroughbred, some of them quarter horse.
Uh-huh.
I broke a half Arab, half thoroughbred for a guy named Jack Schott. And he was just a sweetheart of a horse, but he didn't have a lot of strength, you know. You could ride him all day, but if you're half as big as he was, they'd jerk him down. And some of the half Arab, half quarter horses would buck you off if they got if they bucked with you, they bucked you off because they were really athletic.
Wow.
So you're saying if you have a bucking horse, make sure he's a non-athletic bucking horse. Got it.
Right, right. You want a big, if they're going to buck, you hope they're the big slow horse, you know.
You want the lazy one, yeah.
So how athletic are these thoroughbreds that you're getting off the track, and how long does it take you to just kind of get them so that they're a good ranch horse?
That depends. It depends on several things. Who had them at the track? How they and their disposition. If they're kind of quiet anyway, they've. I like a horse that had quite a few races. A lot of people are out there hunting for the horse that only had three starts, you know. And usually there's a reason they only had three starts. Either they had no athletic ability, or they were really hard to get along with. They don't keep a horse in the barn for 4 years or 5 years if they hate him.
That's true.
Usually, if somebody tells me a horse had 45 starts and he doesn't have any big knees or big ankles, I'll jump on that because somebody liked them or they wouldn't have kept them around.
Well, and he's sound, I guess, you know.
Yes, yes. I've got a horse. I just got him. His name is Sunshine Boy, and he came to us from a kind of a family operation in Ohio. I kind of got him by mistake. I bought a horse from them, and they had some trouble with the paperwork to get him off the grounds, and so they sent me this horse instead. And I didn't know about it until he was probably halfway here. And, boy, I got lucky. I'll tell you what, I just love him. He's like a dog. When I go out and do chores, he puts his head on my shoulder and everywhere I go, and if I stop, he'll run into me. He's 9 years old, and he had 83 starts, and I kid you not, there's not a pimple on him. He's just as clean joints as a horse can be.
Yeah.
And
he doesn't have any trouble getting in a trailer either after 83 starts.
Usually when after they've run that much, they're pretty grouchy by the time they get here, you know. He's still distal. He wants you to do something for him. And
now, do they transition well? Because I imagine you kind of keep them out where a racehorse is often stalled, you know, for most of their life. Do they transition well to just being out and being a horse?
Well, you really have to keep an eye on them. Make sure they're drinking. I try to keep them with a horse that knows their way around and keep an eye on them for a while because, like I say, you'll see them maybe licking snow or something. And we just got a horse. This was Dorothy's idea. She fell in love with a paint thoroughbred. And he's a... Well, he got scared. I think he didn't like the taste of the water or what, or he wanted it in a bucket or something, but I watched him for a couple of days. He was just licking snow, and so I had to go start leading him to water and find a different place. There's things they'll get afraid of or get scared of. We had a stud that got scared of the water tank, he was a couple of weeks before he'd drink out of it. Sometimes you have to trick him into it.
Wow.
I have a question.
That have transitioned from the show ring out to, you know, just being a general pasture horse, and it's a struggle sometimes.
Yes, it sure can be. And some of them just fall right into it like they've done it all their life. But you kind of have to be vigilant. Because if a horse, you know, they get too far down or they're not drinking, I feed so much hay that I have to make sure they're drinking or you can get in trouble pretty fast.
Sure.
So,
now, Dale, before we let you go, we had a conversation earlier in the show about mares versus geldings, and we were talking about that, and you mostly deal with geldings. Is there a reason that you don't do mares just because it's easier, it won't complicate life? What's the reason?
Well, geldings will cause you trouble around mares. Somebody will fall in love with a mare, and then somebody's getting kicked, and it's just easier for them to get along better if there's not a mare around. And I have some studs here turned out too that they get along just fine as long as there's nothing to fight over.
Boy, you know, and so, we were talking. It's funny because we were talking about how most of the things we talked about translates to humans, and that one does too, pretty much. If you think about it.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
A bunch of men on a football team would get along pretty good until a cheerleader shows up.
Dale, what's your website?
It's gatethegreat.com. G-A-T-E, like starting gate, to great. Your great geldings.
Okay, gatetogreat.com. If you want to learn more about the geldings that Dale has there, or just check out his website. We would love for you to do that. Thank you so much again for joining us. I think by the next time we talk, Dale, you might be above 32 degrees.
I hope so. Just another month, I guess.
Yeah, in April sometime, you might hit 32 degrees. We'll find out, and your snow might be just starting to melt. So. We'll look forward to talking to you when you're all warmed up.
Okay, it's good to talk to you. You guys take care.
Thanks, Dale.
Thanks, Dale.
That's funny.
Everybody gets along until the chill readers show up.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, you know what? Dale's funny because you don't expect those things, and then when he says them, it just cracks me up.
Oh, yeah. I like the part about Grandma telling him to keep his mouth shut. That's
yeah.
Hysterical.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Road to the Horse coming up next week. I'm leaving on Wednesday, heading up to Lexington, Kentucky, to Kentucky Horse Park for Road to the Horse. I did find out that there's a bunch of our listeners going to be there, so I'm looking forward to meeting them. If you are going to be there, drop me a note on Facebook or, best thing is drop me a message, private message on Facebook. Let me know you're going to be there. Maybe we can exchange phone numbers so we make sure we meet up. I mean, there is 10,000 people going to be there, so we want to make sure that we do meet up. We do have a booth, but I won't be in it the whole time because my ADD kicks in and I just can't do it. So, and besides, I want to be out watching. So I'll be over watching the event and probably not in the booth a lot of the time. So we'll be coming to you live from there on Friday morning, and our sponsorship is our show Friday morning, live from there, is brought to you by the Cashel Company, and we appreciate their continuing coverage of the 2014 Road to the Horse. Every rider has their own road to travel, and there's no limit to where it may take you. Whether you're on the trail, you need tack and equipment that you can count on. The quality of your tack can help make sure every ride is the ride of a lifetime. And that's where Cashel's commitment to designing the best gear available can bring you peace of mind. From saddlebags, saddles, and tush cushions to America's best-selling fly protection, plus everything in between. Cashel is dedicated to quality, so you can rest assured you're getting a great value. Spend more time enjoying the outdoors, exploring new trails, and finding new roads. Cashel gives you freedom to get out and enjoy the ride. Visit CashelCompany.com and explore everything Cashel has to offer for you and your horse. Do you use Cashel products at all?
I do. You know, I've got a set of saddlebags that I've used forever. I've actually had several saddlebags. And, you know, you don't think about saddlebags fitting your horse, but I've had some saddlebags that are just awful, and they slide all over, and they just don't fit your horse. And these saddlebags, every single one I've had, they're great, and they load evenly, they are stable, they are durable. I just absolutely love them.
And I think everybody's familiar, of course, with their fly protection, their fly mats.
Oh, yes.
We've used those for years and years and years, and just think that they're some of the best ones out there. And they have a lot of new products, too. If you haven't taken a look at their website lately, head over to CashelCompany.com and check out the new products they have, especially for trail riding. And I think all of our trail riders out there certainly have heard the name, and now it's time to find out what else they have coming up at CashelCompany.com. So Road to the Horse, have you been there before?
Oh, every year. You know, it used to be here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and so every year it was there, I just went without fail. I had a booth. I was a sponsor for a couple of years, and, you know, I have to say it's a great weekend of entertainment and shopping, and it's there's just nothing else like it.
I've never been there. This will be my first time, so I'm very excited.
Oh, you will just totally, totally enjoy it. And they put on a great show. And, you know, you've got to go. If you haven't been, you've just got to go at least once.
I did find out from Tammy yesterday, who helps organize the event, that they do have some tickets left. There's few, not a lot, but there are some tickets left. So if you hop on over to roadtothehorse.com right now, if you have a chance, if you live near Kentucky and you want to take a ride over, you know, even for one day, it runs from Thursday through Sunday of next weekend, 13th through the 16th. And of course the Kentucky Horse Park is a beautiful place to see it. It's indoors, it is heated, so you don't have that to worry about, and you're probably going to want that, because I just looked at the weather forecast for Lexington and it's still supposed to be in the 30s with a chance of snow. So I still think they haven't moved it. They should have moved it south down to where I live, where it's warm.
Well, and, you know, the Alltech Arena is just a beautiful facility. If you haven't been there, you know, it's worth the trip just to be in that arena at the horse park. It's such a great location, and just go. Just do it.
And I'm excited, too. I'll get to see some of our listeners, but I'll also get to see a couple of our hosts. Tammy from the Western Radio Show will be there. So I'll get to see Tammy Sorensen, and I haven't seen her in person in years. And then also Reese Koffler-Stanfield from the Dressage Radio Show. She said she's going to come over for a couple hours one day, and we're going to have dinner together. So I haven't seen Reese in a couple of years either. So it's always fun. You know, there are hosts that I actually have not met in person that have been hosting shows on the network for years. Philip from the Dressage Radio Show from Canada, I have never met him. And I've never met Alan, who's been doing the Western Show for 5 years.
I know.
Well,
wow.
You know, we don't really need to be in the same place anymore to do this, so that's why I've never met them. But I am looking forward to seeing them both next weekend and all of our listeners that are going to be there. So drop me a note. Let me know, and we'll make sure we all get together. Maybe we'll do a little meetup for all of the listeners of the Horse Radio Network. I have a song for us today, and then we're going to come back. We need Lisa to have time to get mentally prepared to do really bad ads. And to get you mentally prepared, I thought you needed a little guardian angel. So that's what we got today. Guardian Angel by Templeton Thompson. We'll be right back.
She could have passed for a cowboy the way she carried herself. And that 50 pounds of leather put it up on that pony, light as a feather, like she'd done it all her life. And she asked if I was ready, handing me the reins. And we started out walking. Up until that morning, she hadn't been much on talking. Guess it finally come the time. And she said, I've learned more from the back of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you made of till you ride out on your own. Ooh, baby, don't worry, I know you're gonna be just fine. And ooh, now don't be in a hurry, you feel it when you hit your stride. So don't get mad, sit deep in the sand, remember to hold. Of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you made of till you're right out on your own.
Templeton Thompson with Guardian Angel. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Lisa Wysocki, and Coach Jen is over there in the producer chair. We are brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com. Well, Lisa, tell me, you have any new books coming out? Tell people where they can find all of your books and things. Of course, one of Lisa's books, in case you haven't listened to the show before, one of Lisa's books included Horses in the Morning and the whole gang, and I'm happy to say I was not the murderer.
Yeah, that was one of my horse mysteries called The Magnum Equation, which I'm happy to say has been nominated for either 4 or 5 awards. I'm so excited. The awards haven't been announced yet, but we're in the running, so it's very
exciting. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm working on the third mystery, which won't be out for a little while yet, but, you know, working on that and a couple other horse books. Everybody can keep up with me at lisawysocki.com. It's W-Y-S-O-C-K-Y. And website's just been updated. We've got new products in the store, just new information, new speaking dates, new clinics up, and, you know, just lots of cool stuff on the website. So hopefully everybody will just check that out.
Now, your latest book that you co-wrote, I have seen, and I can't remember, what was the name of the latest one?
Called Hidden Girl, and I co-wrote it with a girl named Shima Hall, who was born in Egypt. When she was 8, her parents sold her into slavery, and then her captors moved her to Orange County, California, so she was a child slave here in the United States. And the book's been doing really well. Shima's been out speaking, doing a lot of media, and the book's getting a lot of attention because there's, you know, believe it or not, there's a lot of slavery that still goes on here in the United States, and, you know, one could be standing right next to you.
Well, I was just going to say, I've seen her on all the major shows, all the morning shows, and, you know, she's been really getting some press and play out of it, so, you know, good job with the book and you know, helping to get that message out, too.
Yeah, thanks. We had a 5-page spread in People magazine a couple weeks ago, and so that was really nice. And, you know, it's just an important topic, and I was just really honored to be able to co-write the book with her.
You have done a variety of books.
Well, I have, yes. You know, I love writing horse books, you know, and I did My Horse, My Partner and did the DVD and, you know, talked about ground training, and I'm working on kind of a follow-up to that. But I also like giving people who don't have a voice, giving the underdog. You know, I co-wrote with Lisa Chapman, the daughter of Dog the Bounty Hunter. She's got an amazing story. Did a book with Two-Foot Fred, who's a diastrophic dwarf who's just had an amazing career over many, many different businesses and industries. And, you know, it's just fun to be able to you know, show that We're all here. We're all the same. We just might look a little different. You know, we might act a little different, like Brad Cohen for Front of the Class, which some of people might have seen on Hallmark because they turned it into a movie. But, you know, it's really gratifying for me to be able to do that.
One of your books, you know, a lot of times we get books from the publishers to review, and so we get a lot of books in here, and we can't possibly read them all. So the ones that we don't read, sometimes we send out to other people to read and do reviews on. And then, you know, a lot of times we'll end up, after we're done with them, giving them away to listeners as part of contests and things. But there's one that I will not give away to anybody, and that is Horse Country, A Celebration of Country Music and the Love of Horses. It's sitting on our shelf, and that one will never go anywhere. It's one of my favorite books.
Oh, thank you. You know, that was a great book to do. I'm here in Nashville, and, of course, we have country music stars here. And for a while, I was involved in the music industry, and they always say, write what you know. And so I knew horses, and I knew country music. And so that's how that book came together. And, you know, Glenn, it was amazing because the contract with the publisher didn't really call for a four-color, like, coffee table book throughout, and that's what the book ended up being. It's absolutely gorgeous. The design is stunning, and I was so excited when I saw the pages, and it was great to talk to people, you know, Brad Paisley, Toby Keith, Charlie Daniels, George Jones, who has, you know, since passed away, and just talk to them about horses. It was just a wonderful project.
And Willie Nelson. Now, was he sober when you talked to him? Just curious.
Well, I think so. Sometimes it can be hard to tell, you know, over the phone anyway, because we did a phone thing. But, but yeah, he was great. I mean, just really passionate about his horse. And I love – my favorite photo in the whole book is of Willie Nelson kind of crouching down and just showing his face to this horse that he adopted, which was just like a baby, and just my favorite photo.
Well, very good. I love that book. You can still buy it. You just go to lisawysocki.com and go to the books section, and you'll find it on there. It's still one of my favorites. If you want a neat coffee table book and want to read the stories of all of these people and their horses, you know, all of these celebrities and their horses, it's really a good read. And I'm glad somebody did that, because it really is a memoir of the relationship that these people have with their horses that probably we wouldn't see anywhere else.
Everybody I interviewed said, you know, nobody has ever asked me about my horse, and I'm so passionate about my horse, and I'm just so grateful that I can talk to somebody about my relationship with horses. So that was a lot of fun. That was just a lot of fun to do.
Well, if you can get Charlie Daniels as a guest on our show, I'd be appreciative, just saying.
I'll see what I can do.
And then after you're done with that, if you could help Jennifer book Carrie Underwood, that would be really great.
Yeah, you know, Carrie's not in my book, and I don't – does she have horses? Do we know?
I don't care.
You don't care? Okay.
No, I don't care.
Well.
she's just on my list.
Okay. Just so we're clear.
All right, let's do some really bad ads.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It's that time of the week when we read ads that have been submitted by our listeners, usually from Craigslist or someplace like that, and then we have a little fun with them. Jennifer, tell us, we always give a prize every week, or two or three, but this week, what are we giving away to the winner of Really Bad Ads?
The winner of today's Really Bad Ad gets a gift box from Uncle Jimmy's brand products. Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls and Licky Things help combat stall boredom by providing your horse entertainment in the stall while at the same time providing them much-needed minerals and nutrients. Uncle Jimmy's has training treats covered, too, with Uncle Jimmy's Squeezy Buns. Every deliciously soft, squishy treat is individually wrapped for freshness, and your pockets won't get gummed up. Ask for Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls, Licky Things, and Squeezy Buns at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can go online to uncle-jimmys.com.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'm actually wearing my Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls T-shirt today, which I try not to wear in public, actually, because I don't think they'd get the joke. But
I want a job in their marketing department when they come up with all their names.
They do. They just sit around, and if you know Uncle Jimmy, you'll know that he was an airline pilot for 30 years and retired. And he's this cowboy. He has this big cowboy hat, cowboy boots, and he rides. He rides a bunch of horses, and he just. That was the whole thing. Is he jokes about his hanging balls, and that's how it came to be. And it's just every product after that was, you know, the Pecker Wrecker is one of his most popular products, and that's for chickens. So, you know, that's one of my favorites too. All right, let's get started. Uta sent in the following ad, and Uta, you know the ones I like to lead with, so that's why we're leading with this one. It is Ferocious Attack Kitten. Ferocious Attack Kitten is available for adoption to any home willing to accept him. And no, Uta, this is not our cat, the Beast. The destructive kitty has been trained as a proud warrior and will fiercely defend your house, even against you. Well-trained since 10 weeks of age to attack anything in his presence, he will protect your family from evil things, including the following. Insects, other trained attack kittens, babies, toilet paper, anything under a blanket, unwanted house guests, paper bags, floor rugs, Chuck Norris, and feet. <He's>... Chuck Norris. Great with children, assuming you don't like children. He is housebroken, but only because he wants to be. This attack cat has trained himself to seek out his food anywhere you hide it and rip the bag open to feed himself. Great for those who travel extensively. Also trained to drink water out of toilet bowls and dishwater from items in the sink. Knows how to open some doors. He will find you everywhere you hide. He's neutered. Trust me, you don't want him to procreate. He has not been declawed, but you'll figure that out really fast. Understands and responds to a variety of vulgar and profane verbal comments. He has very soft and furry belly, like a teddy bear. However, he will bite your face off if you try to touch it. Willing to accept trades. Potential adopters must have experience with trained attack kittens. Please be prepared to show scars. For the love of God, someone please take this thing out of my house. I've got to tell you, this was the first 6 months and really thereafter with our cat, the Beast. We've talked about the Beast before, and pretty much everything in here describes the Beast. Oh, especially he understands the vulgar and profane comments, because I think the Beast knows them all now after I've dealt with the Beast. Yes.
This was an amazing, amazing ad. You know, I just, as you were reading that, Glenn, I kept thinking, whoever wrote this is a writer, you know? I mean,
yes.
They should be writing books and ad copy and all of that.
Yes, especially after they threw Chuck Norris into the mix. That just sealed it right there.
Exactly. On the other hand, they probably can't write because the cat is probably going to destroy the computer or the typewriter or the paper. So.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Uta.
So the next ad that we have is also from Uta. Horse, $20,000, Shelby.
Woo.
Yeah, good paycheck there for somebody if she can sell his horse. She says, I am selling my horse. She will be 3 in April. I have no time to spend on her. She doesn't load in a trailer. She will let you put the saddle on her and everything, but she has never had anyone on her back yet. Her name is Destiny. Very loving and pretty to look at. If you are interested and want her, you'll have to figure out how to move her. As I said, she does not load into a trailer. This is in capital letters. Won't even go near one. Any questions, email me, please. Thanks.
Okay, how long do you think that horse is going to be on that farm for 20 grand?
Oh,
I got to tell you.
Forever.
In
because
what way?
She won't go near a trailer, you know? I mean, somebody's going to have to, like, lead her off the farm.
She's going to have to, it's going to have to be her next door neighbor that decides that he has nothing better to do with 20 grand than buy this untrained, unbroke horse who won't even go near a trailer.
Yes, exactly.
And by the way, the horse's name is Destiny. That will be your destiny. Is an untrained, unbroke horse who won't go near a trailer that you've just spent $20,000 on. I'm just saying.
But she's pretty, Glenn.
She is pretty. Yep, they all are. They all are. And again, this translates well to women. I was engaged to one before, Jennifer, that fit this whole description, and she cost me a lot more than $20,000. So on that, I'm going on. Kayla sent the following one in. Looking to buy very high-end jumping saddle in brown or dressage saddle in black in a medium tree. Must be brand new, must allow a three-week trial, and I'm willing to spend $250. And that has to include shipping. No non-French low-end saddles. Any sign of wear whatsoever or unpopular colors, I will offer $50 less than what you ask.
I mean, how can somebody possibly think that somebody's going to be interested in that ad? I mean, what are they thinking?
I don't know. This is one where I really want to call and ask her how many calls she's got, because you know what? Maybe she just doesn't have any idea of how much a very high-end jumping saddle in brown or a very high-end dressage saddle in black that is French, because apparently if she says no non-French, doesn't that mean it has to be French?
You know, I was shopping for a saddle just recently, and, you know, you can get a saddle for that price if the tree is crooked or, you know, there's no place to hang stirrups or, you know, I just wonder what people think.
That's right. I don't know, but I guarantee you she didn't get any calls.
I'm sure that she didn't. I'm sure she didn't. So our next one, don't miss out on her. 7-year-old paint mare, $800. Don't lose your chance to get her. 7-year-old paint mare quarter horse would be okay for a beginner, but her only flaw is she doesn't like to stand still when you get on. Besides that, she's amazing. She will back up however far you want. She don't like to run. She just likes to walk nice and slow and easy. Once you get on, she'll do whatever you ask of her. She was put up in the pasture for a little over 2 years. So if you only have time to ride every now and then and you let a horse sit up for a while, she is the horse for you. Don't miss out. You must come pick up. My trailer is not in good condition right now, but my cousin will deliver.
This was in Alabama, by the way, and that just totally fit. You know, what does it mean? I didn't understand this part. So you only have time to ride every now and then, and you let a horse sit up for a while.
I don't know. Is she like sitting up like a little dog, you know?
Maybe she means just let him alone for a while. Maybe that's what she means. And I love the fact that she's been put up in a pasture. You know, so they're a very religious horse, too. You
very,
know,
very much so. Yes. Yeah, so,
it will take you to church on Sunday, this horse, and be very happy to do it. And I really like the fact that she'll do whatever you ask of her, except she doesn't like to run, and she walks away when you try to get on, and she only does slow and easy. So
if you go to church,
you have to just
log in some extra time if you're going to ride her to church, because she'll take
you
a while to get there.
That's right. You're going to have time to pray on the way.
Exactly.
Thank you, Andrea. James sent the following one in. For sale or trade, quarter horse, $400, Tuscaloosa. Cheyenne is an 11-year-old quarter horse mare. She's got a lot of go in her and is very spirited. Needs an experienced rider. Can be used for anything with the right training. Looking to also trade for a horse that I can control. Serious inquiries only.
You know, years ago when you'd go look at a horse, you know, the horse traders were at least smart enough to kind of not mention some of these things.
Yes.
Yeah, and I appreciate the spirit of full disclosure, but oh my goodness, I just don't get what people think.
Exact opposite of the last mare who didn't want to get up and go at all. This one will take you to church fast. So if you're tired of taking 3 hours to get to service, you can buy this one and take this one. You'll get there in 10 minutes.
And I guarantee you'll be praying all the way.
That's right. That's right. And don't count her standing still for the sermon either.
No. Anyway. No. No, the pastor better be quick. So the next one that we have, it's from Linda. This is going to be tough. It says, Foxtrot May, me an offer from Kearns, Utah. I have a two-year-old.
You notice I gave you this one because it was it was one of those Jamie ads that only she can read. So good luck.
Oh, well, thanks. Okay, so I have a two-year-old Foxtrot. I have been on him a bunch, never a full day's riding, R-I-D-E-I-N-G, him. He does need work on reining and direction. He's pretty much bomb proof, just needs the work. He has never bucked, reared up, kicked or bitten, never offered either. He is a great horse, not very wide considering he just came to. He hasn't filled out. He will be a nice big stout horse. His feet have been worked with, and he has packed a saddle all day. He is not spooky at all. Saddles like a bro and works great with a boozily. Just awesome horse that could build you as a rider or your kids. Don't miss out on this colt is a catch. Text me anytime or call.
Wow.
He's bomb prof, but he doesn't turn. He's not directional, but he's bomb prof.
Turning is a bit of an issue for this two-year-old Foxtrot. Yep. And I got to look up Foxtrot because I think that's a new breed that they sell in Utah.
That's Trot with two T's, or three T's, by the way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Trot with three T's.
Yeah. Trot with three T's. And, you know, what? I still have a problem with the two-year-olds and the kids. That's a little bit of an issue for me. And I don't know where to go with the saddles like a bro, B-R-O.
Saddles like a bro.
Pro.
I don't know what that means either. I just picture him putting a saddle on his brother and whipping him. I don't know.
Exactly.
I grew up with three brothers. That happened. So that's what I pictured. That's where I went right away. And a Bozoli is something. It doesn't mean it is something, right?
I think he means a Bozell Hackamore.
Okay. Got it.
I don't know. It's probably kind of a convoluted spelling here, so could be just about
anything.
Yeah,
he probably put that on his brother, too. So that's where that came from. Yep, two-year-old stud, perfect for your two-year-old child there in Kearns, Utah.
Yeah.
Beth Ann sent the following win in. This is our horse trailer of the week, and once again, we are not disappointed because I don't know where people find them, but they find the horse trailers every week. We'll post it on Facebook. It's a very short ad. Horse trailer, $500 in Parma. Nice little horse trailer asking $500, cash only, because he knows that it is going to get home in one piece, and you'll be coming back for your money back. So you'll cancel the check. This is your typical, rounded front end two-horse trailer. This one, though, has the very spiffy fenders of a 1957 Cadillac. Doesn't it? Isn't that what it reminds you of, one of the old 1957 Cadillac or Chryslers, the fenders? They're wraparound.
I'm kind of in the market for a horse trailer, and so I've been looking on Craigslist just to kind of get a feel for what's out there. And I look at some of these ads, anything under $1,000, I mean, I don't even know that I'd put a load of wood in there. Just some of the pictures, it's just frightening.
I know.
It really is.
I have to say, having owned some pretty crappy trailers in our lifetime, there's a bungee cord that's holding the little front door open that's in the front of the roundy part in between the windows. There's a bungee cord that's holding that open, and it attaches to the side of the trailer, and it's the only thing holding that door shut. I have honestly can say that we have done that in the past. So
yeah, well, that's kind of a nice touch. And the bungee cord almost looks new.
We have been to some horse shows and some very embarrassing trailers. So, people sometimes pick on us because we pick on these trailers, but believe me, we've been there. This one at least appears to have four tires that might have air in them and a jack that apparently holds up the trailer. So we're doing better on this one.
That's important.
Yeah, it is important. If you want to hook it to your truck, it's very important.
I like the cow stencil on the front. That's kind of classy.
Yeah, there is a cow stencil on the front. I kind of think this was used for cattle. This is the first one we've seen that had that kind of grating. Do you see the grating that it has? Or is that a trailer behind it? I'm not sure.
Well, they probably should throw in another $50 for the artwork on the front.
That's true. That is true.
No?
Yep.
Yeah.
Take it away, people. And I got a mirror you could try and put in it. Three ads.
Exactly.
Guaranteed the mirror will walk in.
$20,000.
$20,000. You can put your mirror in your $500 trailer.
Yep. So our next ad is from Nikki. Spotted mare, $500, Dunlap. I have a spotted saddle mare for sale. She's a great horse. She's 13 old and 16 high. It sounds like room dimensions. We had new shoes put on her about 6 weeks ago. Easy to catch. She likes to go. Not for beginner. $500, our best offer. Now, I like the part about the new shoes about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, they're not new anymore, exactly. You know, but when you only put shoes on once a year, 6 weeks ago are new.
I guess, you know, it's all perspective.
That's right. That's correct. Yep. And I love it. We have another one here. We have a whole bunch of mares today that really like to go and are not for beginners. So maybe this is totally dispelling what we talked about earlier as far as the mare gelding thing. We might be just shooting ourselves in the foot reading these ads today. Everything we said earlier, just forget it. It's not true. Diane Brooks sent the following one in. Horse for sale, $900. Let's see if it's a mare. Azzy, A-Z-Z-Y, is a 5-year-old green, but very friendly. I love him, but he still won't be the size I need. He is 14.9 hands tall. He never reared or bucked when I ride, just when he plays with the other horses. He always wants to know what's going on and what you're doing. I was working on barrel racing with him because that's what I do with his mother. He would make a great barrel racer, always flying by his mom in the pasture. she used to win all the time at Keystone Rodeo. Now I just do it for fun and train jumpers and show my jumper all the time. If you want, you may call or text me. If you call, please leave me a voicemail. I listen to my voicemails, but I do not answer calls if I don't know the number. Thanks. Well, you know, most people don't when the bill collectors are calling all the time. So that's probably why. But
this is a really unique horse. I mean, you just don't find 14.9 hand horses every day.
No, you don't. And you know, I certainly don't know why 14.9 isn't a good size, because that's a big horse, 14.9.
That's a really big horse, yeah. And it's a very unique selling point, I think.
Yeah, I do too. I love the fact that, and this happens all the times in these ads, never reared or bucked when I ride, blah, blah, blah. I was working on barrel racing because that's what I do with his mother. He would make a great barrel racer, which means she gave up working on barrel racing because he wasn't a very good barrel racer.
Exactly.
You have to read between the lines, people. You have to watch what they say very carefully.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, the next one. You're going to love the next one.
I can't wait. Sent in by Rachel. I love the title. Crappy Appy Needs Home. $800 East Mesa. Now that title is, you know, that's going to grab my attention. Okay.
Yep.
Appy mare, approximately 14.2 hands, require confident and experienced rider. Nibbles, appropriately named, is somewhere between 6 and 10 years old. She would be ideal for a smaller, experienced rider. I have only had her since June. When I got her, she hadn't been ridden in a few years. She can be ridden. However, she has several bad habits I no longer have patience to deal with. She is she bites, she grows up, and bucks. She is barn sour. She steers better than she did, but she is by no means light. She is alpha in the pen and is food-driven. Her good points, you have to make her, but she will ride out alone. She's not spooky. She has a comfortable trot. She's barefoot, has good feet, and stands well to trim. She is fine at a walk. She is fine to ride bareback. She seems to do better in a halter or bozel. She pushes through a bit. She needs someone who will ride her well and often and take time to bond and sort through her issues. I would rather start colts than repair someone else's mistakes. She is a project horse, in capitals. Price is negotiable. I just don't feel like she needs to go to the killers. I believe she can be fixed in the right hands of someone who is more patient. Feel free to text or call.
Okay, let's review. She is cinchy, she bites, she crow hops, and she bucks. And she doesn't steer because she just said she steers better than she did, which means she doesn't steer. She's
right.
Food-driven, and she is an alpha in the pen. She'll beat the crap out of everything else in the pen is basically what that means. So let's review the positives. If you make her, she'll ride out alone.
At a walk.
Okay. At a walk. That's right.
Yeah.
Because that's all that's safe. If you try and trot or if you try and go to a trot, she's going to buck. And then she's going to bite. And then she's going to crow hop. This is a perfect horse for that two-year-old we were talking about above. So if you have a child, then you don't want a stallion. This mare is for you.
Exactly. Only $800.
Yeah, that's right. Only $800.
Yeah.
I love how she put Crappy Appy in the title. At least she was honest. This woman was
extremely
honest. Gentle Bay, another one. I'd love to call and ask if anybody asked, if she got any calls at all.
Yeah.
Frida sent this one in. That's a new name. Gentle Bay Gelding, $500 near Huntsville. It must be Alabama. 10-year-old paint gelding. I am selling out all of my stock due to departure for college. He will need broken because of lack of training. Yes, that's usually why they need broken. All offers will be considered. There you go, $500. You can get an unbroke something, 10-year-old paint gelding.
I hope she's taking an English class in college.
She's going to study creative writing.
Yeah.
Well, she did better. At least she had more words than the next one you're going to read.
Yes, and this is from Dana, who probably needs to join the previous seller in an English class. Arabian gelding, 4-year-old, $650, Vinemont, Alabama. Good nature horse. Call. Now, is the horse good in nature? I mean, is he good out in the environment? I don't understand.
Yes, he's an out-of-doors horse.
He's an outdoors horse. I guess he camps then. He must like camping.
Yeah. Well, you know, she was one that had nothing really good to say about her horse. All these other people went on for paragraphs about how bad their horse was. This one thought she'd let you figure it out for yourself when you got there.
Yes.
She's just trying to help you out.
Yes.
Good nature horse.
Yes.
Diane, this is the last one of the day. We have had some good ones today. Diane Woolley sent this one in. 3 horses for sale in Oak Grove. By the way, did you notice that most of the ones were in Alabama today? Alabama, you're being represented well today. 3 horses for sale in Oak Grove. I have 3 horses for sale. One is 13.2, and he is a gelding and is broke to ride and voice command. And I have a 3-year-old mare, 14.3, and anybody can ride her. And I have a 14-year-old. She is 14.2, and anybody can ride her. I am asking $1,200 for all of them. No lowballers. I want to come off the price and don't want no texting and no calls after 8 p.m. And I don't have time to waste, so don't call if you don't have any money. Thanks, and have a blessed day. I love after all this. Don't do this and don't do that, and I don't want to talk to you after 8 p.m. and don't waste my time. Thanks, and have a blessed day.
Well, what can you say to that? I mean, you know, maybe she has a little anger management issue. I don't know.
Yeah, kind of think so. Kind of think a little bipolar might be more the case.
Exactly. Wow. But at least she sounds like she has some nice horses. Because anybody can ride them.
Ride. Yeah, anybody can ride them. They're all broke to ride. They're terrific. Yep.
Sure.
No problem. And
sure.
That's why they're $1,200 for 3. And apparently you have to take them all. They will not fit in that new little trailer you bought for $500 because that's only made for one. Yeah.
They probably have some separation anxiety and herd-bound things going on.
All those little things. All right, we have to pick a winner. It's between you and Jennifer has to come up with a winner here. We have Uncle Jimmy's gift pack for his hanging balls and licky things and squeezy buns and all that stuff. Who wouldn't want to win some Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls? So let's find out who that lucky winner is. What do you guys think?
Well, there are so many good opportunities here. There are so many. I do kind of like the last one, but I also like the Crappy Appy.
I'm with you on the Crappy Appy. Let's give it to Rachel Mitchell because it's the first time in the almost 3 years we've been doing this that somebody has actually put that their horse is crappy in the title. So.
Exactly. That deserves some recognition.
It was a bad ad, and they were extremely honest. We got to give them credit for that. So
absolutely.
Rachel sent that one in. East Mesa. I think that's Arizona, too. So Jamie, you're well represented today as well. So, yes, Rachel Mitchell, you're going to win that prize. Jennifer will be in touch with you and get your address and everything, and we'll get Uncle Jimmy to ship that out to you. Thank you so much, Uncle Jimmy, for being back on board here with prizes on Horses in the Morning. We really appreciate that. We're going to be back here Monday morning. Jamie should be back. I'll be here. Jennifer will be here. Thank you so much, Lisa Wysocki, for filling in. I thoroughly enjoy when you get to join us every once in a while here.
Oh, thank you. It's been an honor. I just really enjoy it, too. Thank you.
Give your website again so everybody can find your books. If you like hearing Lisa Wysocki on the radio, you're going to really like reading her writing because it is a whole lot better than all of these ads we have just
Thanks, Glenn. It's LisaWysocki.com. Wysocki is W-Y-S-O-C-K-Y.
Very good. And, of course, you can find our app. If you're not listening on the app, you can be. We can't do live on the app. And we did have a couple questions about that last week on Facebook. People say they would love to listen live to this show on the app. It's not something that we would love to have you listen live on the app, but it's not in the technology of Blog Talk Radio that we use to produce this show. They just do not allow us to do it, so we can't. So you can listen to the recorded version soon after. But you can listen to all of our shows there. Just go to the App Store, iOS or Android, and search for Horse Radio Network. Thank you, Jennifer, for booking some terrific guests this week. And you all have a terrific, safe weekend. Wear your helmets and be safe while you're riding out there. Bye, Lisa.
Bye.
If you want the crappy appy, drop Jennifer an email. She'll get it to you.